sorry. Okay. I guess we just start the workshop, so we're going to hear from Travis M. first. Yay. Give him a round of applause.
I'm Matt. My name's Travis. Man, it's an honor and a privilege that people believe in me and ask me to come here. Like nobody ever believed in me for anything. Nothing. You know, about all they believed in me was is they could get a sack of ramen noodles in the penitentiary. You know, that was what they believed in me for. But, man, I'm a grateful member of Narcotics Anonymous. Hey, man, I come in here beaten and broken. I had ran through everybody in my life. And it's man, I ain't gonna cry. But, man, it feels so good to be in the love and the comfort of the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. Yeah. Anywhere I go, it fills my spirit and it brings this feeling inside of me that's indescribable. I can't describe it. But you know that they gave us the topic today, and I'm gonna try to stay on that topic. But I'm gonna try to stay on that topic. You know, I'm not prepared. I don't ever get prepared. Matter of fact, how my preparation works is I was going to prepare this morning and I spilled orange juice in my backpack. So I was like, damn, I don't guess I'm going to prepare. But you know, the spiritual experience they're talking about in the 12th step, or the spiritual awakening, like I had to go through some spiritual experiences to experience the awakening. And the part of that this morning was, instead of getting mad, I'm like, man, you know, I've put in the work. I'm going to get up here and I'm going to share what I have to share. And that's what I'm going to do. Like, man, it means so much to me to be of service of the thing that has saved my life and keeps saving my life on a daily basis. Man, I have relationships with people that are... talks about it in our literature, indescribable feeling that I can't, you know, like they come and show up for me. Like, do you know a person like me? Like nobody ever showed up for me. My parents told me not to come to their house. Like, hey man, you can't come here. No more. But I'm gonna try to get onto the topic. Topic is, it says, the more eagerly we wade in and work, the richer our spiritual awakening will be. Like, I can glance over that and I can't understand what that means, so I need to know what some stuff means in there. Like, I have to, because I'm dumb. You know, I need to, like, it just, okay, you know what, if I want it and I work a little, I'll get these rewards. You know, that's what it reads. But you know what? When I get into it and I get into the literature and I look and see what it means, and then I can apply it to my life, but first I have to understand what it means before I can apply it to my life. That's just for me. Hey, that's in anything in life. That's at my job. Like, Narcotics Anonymous has helped me have a job that I have to, like, I get to come in this fellowship right here and I get to be me. I get to be a recovering addict. Like, outside of here, all I get to do is practice the principles that I learn in here in my everyday life. They don't know what I am. They don't know the disaster that might happen if I don't do this. You know? But, you know, I look at the word eagerly. You know, like if I just glance over, I don't know what it means. But it says, marked by enthusiastic or impatient desire or interest. So I have to have a desire and an interest. You know, and the word impatient, that was the actual definition. But, you know, you can kind of leave that out of there, because through the process of Narcotics Anonymous, I become patient. You know, so I'm marked by enthusiastic desire or interest. I have a desire in this program. I have a desire and an interest in you guys. So that's how, you know, I get in with that, you know. But, I step back for a second. You know, you take that the topic and you think about it like this. Like, I put it in layman's terms. like a, you remember when you were a kid and you were like outside, you know, it talks about wading in. Okay, so you remember when you were a kid and you were like outside the pool and you were looking at all the people in the pool and you was like scared to go in, but you seen them all having fun and you're like, man, you know, you're just like, so you wade in. You just kind of like step in and you get in there. And then you get in there and you start doing some stuff, but you had to be eager to do it first. But you get in there and you start playing with all the fellow children and you're swimming. And finally, you're in the pool. Think about it like that. You know, that's how I think about it. But you know the definition of wade is to step in or through. Or through. Like, I got to go through it. I got to go through some stuff. You know, the definition of richer, abundant. It's abundant, an abundant quality. Like, this stuff fills me. It fills me with an abundance of things that I can't describe. Like, I can sit here and I can just be a member of Narcotics Anonymous, and I hope that what I'm feeling inside is coming out to y'all. You know, and the one I like the best, like when I find out what it is the word work. Because that says we got to wade in and work. So in addition to getting in there, to playing with all, to getting involved with y'all, I have to work. I have to work. Like, in addition to that, I have to work. So the definition of work is to perform or carry through a task requiring sustained effort or continuous repeated operations. Huh? Huh? Hey, that, in a nutshell, man, that describes what we do in here. Like I do repeated, continuous operations. Because I see y'all doing it. Like you get in the pool with the kids and you start doing what they're doing. And you start experiencing the feelings that they're having and you start experiencing life the way they're experiencing it. Now, I hope that's a good analogy. That's the best way I can describe it. You know, sustained effort. Like, man, I get to go a lot of places. Like, my better half over there, Nikki, who I love very much, is a person I love in my life. Like, there's no, but we had this deal. Like, and I'm talking about required sustained effort. She's like, "Well, we're going to stop traveling so much," and I'm like, "Well, I'm not going to do that." I'm this is what I do. This requires a sustained effort to where I shut. Hey, like. First of all, this is my least favorite thing to do in the fellowship. Like, I would rather do what Ethan is doing. Like putting all this together. You know, that's where I get my comfort. But I'm here. When I'm asked to, I show up. But, you know, she was talking about, like, she, no, I'm not going to travel so much. And you know, she thinks that, I think it too. So I'm not going to say that. It's like, we're a partnership. In life, in Narcotics Anonymous, and everything we do is a partnership. But in this particular thing, I was like, man, like, we're going to have to stop the partnership because I'm going to stop. I'm going to keep traveling if you don't, because I have to put in a sustained effort all the time to keep what I have. And when I say keep what I have, it's not the things that I have in my life. It's this thing that I have inside of me. I have two things inside of me all at the same time that exist at the same time. And I use some adjectives sometimes. So I have two things inside of me that fuck with me sometimes. I have the disease of addiction and I have some peace. Hey, and at the same time when they're going against each other, man, like, I'm not even a part of nothing. Like, I can't figure out. Like, I have to know when the peace is coming, and I have to know when the disease of addiction is coming. So I got to get through that to get to this. But these two things exist. They exist inside of me at the same time, and it's hard. It's hard. Like, I have this thing that's lurking. It just sits right there, waiting for me not to put in a sustained effort, so it can say, "Ooh, I got you."
Yeah.
And you know, I was talking to somebody a while ago. You know, kind of funny, like you know, we say in here a lot, well, you know, the dope ain't the problem. Well, I get that, but that's, we all know that. But I was thinking about like early on and before I got clean, like I was trying to figure out, how can I keep the job and the vehicles and keep my relationships? How can I keep all this and do the dope? Like, I was trying to figure out a way where I could do all that and still do that. You know, and I never could. I never could. And it wasn't until I got in here, you know, that something in the literature says that, you know, could it be the drugs? Well, okay, well, you know, that I get to this point and I come in here and I was like, damn, it is the dope. Hey, when I refer to dope, I'm referring to dope in a wide range. Hey, in my life, it's from huffing gas to drinking paint. You know, I mean, I'm, that's what I'm talking about. It's anything. But, you know, I come in here and I have to get, I couldn't get confused. Like, when I first come in here, the dope is the problem. Like, I had to get the dope out of the way. I had to be abstinent from the dope to get to the problem. See, I'd come face to face many times with the problem and didn't know what the problem was. Like I always wanted it to be something else. Hey, I don't know if anybody's ever come in here or when I first came in Narcotics Anonymous, I did not want this to be the solution to my life. I didn't want it. I was like, damn, this is what it's come to. And then we get this the spiritual awakening or whatever we want to call it, and the definition of awakening, like we can bring some light on that and know what that is. Like, I don't know if anybody knows what the definition is, and it doesn't matter, but like an arousing from inactivity or indifference. Like, wow. Like, man, so the awakening, like, when I get the dope out of the way, like, let me back up a second. I had come face to face, because Tales in our lyrics would come face to face with the problem. I had come to face with the problem many times before, and I had no earthly idea what it was. I didn't know that eventually that it would be me. Like early on when I didn't know nothing about nothing, I thought the problem was that I couldn't keep all this stuff and do the dope. I didn't know that I had to get the dope out of the way to get to what the problem is, to get to the real essence of what the problem is. You know, we say the dope ain't the problem no more, but here, I look at it like this. Hey, I never lose sight, ever, ever, ever lose sight of the fact that, hey, it may not be the problem today, but if I don't put in sustained effort, it will be the problem tomorrow. Yeah. That's what's going to be the problem. Yeah. Like, when I put something in my body, hey, I cut myself off from the recovery experience, and I cut myself off from a higher power. Hey, and most importantly, I cut myself off from you. I can't do this. Like, this is what gives me life. I have a debt to Narcotics Anonymous that can never be repaid. I'm doing my part by showing... Hey, I show up at a lot of places, you know. But I'm doing my part, you know. And sometimes at the very essence, my part is staying clean no matter what I'm going through.
That's right.
Like, man, I'm going through some shit in my life right now. You know, and when I got clean, I'll tell you what, here, I'm not going to go into my story or nothing because we have a topic and I'm going to stay on it, but to tell you, like, picture me in a white jumpsuit with a bald head. That's my life. That's not what I look like today because of y'all. Y'all taught me how to live. My life is so full, but I'm going through some, like, I've went through some stuff early on. Hey, when I first got clean, and like, I don't like sharing this because I just shared. I was at another convention sharing not too long ago, so I just shared it. But y'all wasn't there, so I can share it again. Like early on, when I first got clean, I'd come to the end. I had, you know, the dope was no longer working. There was nothing working. But I'd come to the end, and man, I'll make it short. But I had. Early on, when I first started getting clean, I didn't even know what Narcotics Anonymous was. I didn't know nothing that I know now. I didn't know what I suffered from. I had no earthly idea. All I knew is that my life had turned to shambles, and I was at this spot where I was either going to shoot myself, get high, or get clean. So I got clean, and it was rough. Like, hey, when I'm talking about, hey, I alienated everybody in my life. Like, they told me not to come around. They told me they didn't want to have nothing to do with me. My kids, you know, told me to get lost. My parents said, you know, don't come up here. Had nowhere else left to turn, and all I had to do was hold on to getting clean. And I had no earthly idea about y'all. So, you know, I go from homeless shelter to homeless shelter. Hey, I even went to some crisis centers where, you know, you tell them you're crazy and they let you sleep there for a week. Hey, I did that. Clean. Fucking clean. And it was rough. It was rough. And, I did that. I went through my grandma dying. I went through some other stuff. My sisters got killed. I went through some things, like in here. And I fucking stayed clean.
That's right.
And I was never able to do that before. If that ain't a spiritual awakening, I don't know what it is.
Right.
Spiritual awakening that says I can walk through anything and not get high.
Yeah.
Because everything in my life right now I have is because I don't get high.
That's right.
But I went through some things, and I'm fucking here today.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. It's not for me to understand. But I go through all that. I stay clean. You know, I'm clean. I'm here. I'm standing here. But right now, I'm going through some stuff that actually. These are real problems that people have. Like, you know, all them relationships back up one second. Like I remember a long time ago that I looked my kids in the face and told them that I choose the dope over you and left. You know, I get to see those kids today, and they get to ask me for shit. And I have to practice spiritual principles why I'm doing this for them. Man, it's tough. Because you know what they throw up in my face. You remember when you did this?
That's right.
Yeah. I said, yeah, I do. But I'll get to that. Like there's just some things. Like, I've taken on this new... I've moved on to this different process in my life right now. Cassandra can tell me when, because when I get rolling, I will keep rolling and I will not shut up. But I moved on to this other process in my life where I've taken a job where I'm not one of them, hey, look at me people, but I've taken on this job where I'm the boss. It's totally different. Man, it's like people look to me for answers. It's like... And I have to practice humility, tolerance, and patience, and love, and all this, you know. And I get to come in here and be just a recovering addict out there. I got to be Travis, the regional supervisor, you know. But I get to, like, my daughter. She's going through these things in her life right now. Hey, and I've not even shared that much with Nikki about how much it's been eating at me, but. She's like, I offered her help. Like, you can come and live with us, and we'll you can go ahead and graduate. Hey, first of all, she's 18. And she's 18 and still in high school. She knows everything. We've all been there. We all know how it is. You know, so good. But she comes at me, and she's like, well, you know, I need a car. I'm like, okay, well, if you want to move, you can move down here, and you can finish high school, and we'll get you in college, and we'll buy you a car, and you can have a chance, and you know how to live. No, I don't want to do that. Okay, so long story short, offered her 5-6 different ways of help, and she don't want to do none of that. So talk about the spiritual awakening and arousing from inactivity or indifference. Hey, I had an indifference towards spiritual principles. Had no tolerance for them either. Had to practice some in this situation. So I come to this decision. This is what Narcotics Anonymous has done for me. Look, I get to make decisions in life that I learned how to make in here. Like out on my job, I make decisions, and this is what we're going to do. With love and kindness and tolerance. And they even talk shit about me, and it's not. And I'm like, man, you know what? If they need to do that to make themselves feel better, so be it. But I've offered, you know, we've offered my daughter all this, and no. So I'm like, okay, here's this. Don't need to go into what it was, but I was like, here's this. When you realize that you can't do nothing with this, if you come back to me with all of it. Not $20 less, not $50, not you, all of it. Hey, we will explore something else, but you've got to do your part here. Narcotics Anonymous has taught me that it's all right to set this boundary with even my daughter, who I've shit on all my life and never been there for. Taught me that it's all right for me to set this boundary and rule with this situation. That here, if you can follow this, we can do this. Or you can find out for your own self.
Nice.
Come on. Nice. Man. You know, my son, he lives over in Edmond. You know, I'm probably going to see him today. You know, he was up here. He grapples for kind of like a living. You know, he walks around, he wrestles people. But, you know, I've already sat down and talked with him. He forgiven me. And, all that I've told you, you know, all that I've said is the love and the comfort of fellowship has brought me from degradation to this, to being able to hang out with y'all. I don't even know half y'all's people's names, but I know who you are. Mm-hmm. And that feel that makes that brings something inside of me that only this can bring. Like everything in my life is because of this. Mm-hmm. You know, it says right here, it says, once we find the NA way. Once we find the NA way. It's kind of funny how this is in the 12th step. Mm-hmm. You know, like all the way down here, they might insinuate to you that you may have found the NA way.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe. But it says, boredom and complacency have no place in our new life.
Yeah.
Man, I'm not being bored. Hey, I tell my sponsor all the time, man, or about anybody, you know, especially guys that just come in the room, they're like, you know, this and that. And I say, hey, man, there's only one thing that you're going to do without. There's only one thing in Narcotics Anonymous that you're going to do without if you keep doing what you're doing. And they're like, what's that? Like, they had this you know, look on their face. And I'm like, that's sleep.
Yeah.
I don't get much sleep. But she's telling me that I got 2 minutes. Hey, I'm telling you, I will keep on. Like I say, I don't like sharing, but once I get going, I got some information that I feel like that I can share with people.
That's right.
I ain't gonna lie.
That's right.
I have some experiences, but I'm gonna wrap it up with here. I'm gonna wrap it up with this, and this is out of the Living Clean, and it's right up front. It says, "NA offers us a path." A process and a way of life. The work and rewards of recovery are never ending. We continue to grow and learn no matter where we are on the journey, and more is revealed to us as we go forward, finding the spark that makes our recovery an ongoing, rewarding, and exciting journey requires active change in our ideas and attitudes. For many of us, this is a shift from desperation to passion.
Yeah.
That's the hit right there.
Yeah, that's the hit.
That's the motherfucking hit.
Yeah.
Hey, man. I love the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm grateful to the Oklahoma region for asking me to come here, and I'm grateful to be a part of a life-saving measure that is called Narcotics Anonymous. Thank y'all.
I'm so sorry. Give Travis one more hand of applause. That was awesome. Okay, next up is Cassandra.
Cassandra!
Woo!
My name is Cassandra. I'm an addict.
Hi, Cassandra.
I'm just going to have a little moment of silence to remember why we're here. Okay, so I've been busy, you know what I mean? Like, I'm super busy all the time, thanks to Narcotics Anonymous. And so, you know, when they asked me to share, I was like, okay, right? I will. But I was looking at the topic, and I haven't had time to look over it. You know, I've kind of been on this thing. Used to, I'd, like, be all prepared, you know? Like, I'd have me an outline. I'd, like, study. I'd, like, you know, get really prepared when I was going to share on a topic. Because that's just the kind of person that I am. I like to be organized, and I like to have my thoughts, because what happens when I don't do that, typically in certain situations, is I end up, like, veering off over here and then over here, and I can't, like, ever really come back and make the point that I'm trying to make, you know? But I haven't been doing that lately. Because, A, I don't have time, and B, like, all this shit's already inside of me, yep. Right? So when I looked at the topic and it said, the more eagerly we wade in and work, the richer our spiritual awakening will be. And thanks, Travis, for sharing and sharing some of those definitions, you know, because that really just kind of, you know, makes it a little bit more powerful, and it gives you a little bit deeper understanding of what that sentence is saying. And, you know, when I was sitting there thinking about looking at this sentence and taking it at face value, man, you know, like, I mean, there's a million different directions we can go with that, right? I'm like, I don't even need to look at this, because I can go all over the place. I've got a lot of experience, right? And this is in the 12th step, right? And I usually get, you know, Travis said he wasn't going to cry, but I brought some tissue because I probably will. but, you know, this is in the 12th step, and I was like, you know, let me look up here and look at this context of what this sentence is talking about. And I just did this last night, and I'm like so tired I could hardly hold my eyes open. But man, it says that right before that, it talks about service. It says we attend meetings and make ourselves visible and available to serve the fellowship. We give freely and gratefully of our time, service, and what we have found here. The service we speak of in Narcotics Anonymous is the primary purpose of our groups. Service work is carrying the message to the addict who still suffers. The more eagerly we wade in and work, the richer our spiritual awakening will be. And so I started thinking about it, like shifting my, you know, the direction over here and thinking about it in terms of service work, right? And I know that it's funny, I've been a part of, let's see, my third, like, area since I've been a member of Narcotics Anonymous, and everybody kind of does it different, right? The first area where I first got clean, nobody ever really talked about service there. I mean, I don't remember, maybe they did, but you know, I was new and yeah. The fog hadn't quite lifted, and I was just kind of, you know, it was a different time.
Yeah.
But I do know that, like, my sponsor never harped on me about service work. What she did say to me was this: Cassandra, if you can't keep a commitment, don't fucking make one.
No.
See, because the first 2 years of my recovery, I worked a night job, overnights, and it was hard for me to, you know, like, consistently show up anywhere, you know, and I missed out on a lot of the fun stuff. And, you know, one of the things that I was able to do was H&I. You know, I could make that commitment because it was kind of on a rotating schedule, and, you know, I could plan for it. And there were so many people in that area doing H&I that, like, I only got to go once every 4 to 6 weeks. Of course, I only had, like, 2 or 3 panels, so. But, you know, then I moved to another area, and I heard that a lot, like, service. They just harped on service, service, service. You need to be of service. Everybody needs to be of service. You just got clean. You need to be of service. Like, get a service position, do something, be of service. And I'm like, you know, I'm glad I wasn't here when I got clean, you know what I mean? But, you know, that's the funny thing, because I can get judgy real quick. And let me tell you something about judgment. As soon as I start, you know, judging somebody, I'm separating myself from them. Yeah. Right? That means that they're doing something wrong. Yeah, and I'm right. Yeah. Right. And that's just not true, man. Like, we're different. And thank God for that, because if we were all the same, I don't know how many of us would be here. You know what I mean? You know, I'm thinking about, like, you know, I saw a lot more examples of, like, people just really diving into service, and it was a bigger area, so there was more ways to be of service, right? And I love the 12th step, because it really kind of goes into all of the different ways, not all of the different ways, but a lot of different ways that we can be of service. And sometimes we don't even realize that we're being of service, and we are being of service, right? Sometimes just showing up to the fucking meeting on a regular basis, we're being of service. You know, hugging the newcomer or the old-timer that walks through the door. We're being of service. Sharing in the meeting. I'm being of service to Narcotics Anonymous. And, you know, it's just kind of a funny thing. So, like, you know, I took on some service positions. Did H&I in the first area. The second area was, like, GSR. And, you know, did some other stuff. But I'll tell you something. I was terrified of sponsorship for a really long time, and I dragged my feet on my steps because, you know, I had this misconception about sponsorship, thinking that, like, that made me responsible for somebody else's recovery, because I forgot, right, that, like, it says, literally says, like, we are responsible for our own recovery. Yeah. And I just didn't want, you know, I just didn't want all that weight on my shoulders. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need all that responsibility in my life. I've got enough to deal with. I had a teenage son come live with me at 15. I had all these resentments, and, you know, a week after I got married, and that was something to deal with. You know what I mean? He didn't really appreciate my need to continue going to Narcotics Anonymous meetings with, you know, some clean time. Oh, what, are you just going to start using drugs again if you don't go to that meeting, Mom? Yeah. Like, what do you fucking care? You're in there playing video games any damn way. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we wouldn't have this relationship. You know, I'm grateful for Narcotics Anonymous because, like, you know, my first instinct in those kinds of situations is to fucking lash back out, right? I want to be the kid too, and we'll just, you know, we can just argue all day, like 2-year-olds. Let's go. You know? But I'm glad I was able to, you know, take a step back, man, and really consider all of the aspects of the situation and remember that, like, I'm dealing with a child who has suffered some trauma due to my fucking decisions. You know, and he doesn't have a program in his life. Right. I do. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm grateful that my sponsor has drilled it into my head from, you know, the time that I got clean, is that, you know, these principles are for you to follow, Cassandra. Yeah. Regardless of what the fuck anybody else is doing. Yeah. These are for you to follow. And, you know, I just think about, like, by the time I got to the 12th step, man, I was just so full of gratitude, you know? And I usually, like, the 12th step I get really emotional about, man. I remember, you know, when I got to the first step, or to the 12th step, my first round of steps, I was, like, crying all the time, you know? Like, these tears of joy, like, man, this is just so awesome. And I still get choked up, man, because, like, my life looks nothing like what it did before. And it looks nothing like what I thought it was going to. You know what I mean? And I'm glad. I wasn't for a long time. I was a little pissed off that it didn't look like what I thought it was going to. But today I'm really grateful, man. Somewhere along the way, like this, the step working process, you know, it changes you in spite of yourself without your fucking permission. Yeah. And somewhere along the way, like, you know, my spirit changes and I stop like trying to control the results of everything in my life. Now I still try to control the results of some things. But anyway, no. So, you know, I did start sponsoring, and like sponsorship is like one of my favorite forms of service to Narcotics Anonymous. I love those relationships. They get on my nerves, you know, but God, I love it. You know, it's so fulfilling. It's just, what a gift, man, to be able to give back what was so freely given to me.
That's right.
And, you know, there's been a lot of people in the last, I don't know, a couple of years that I had been in recovery with for a long time. And, you know, had close relationships with, that kind of decided that, you know, they didn't want to do Narcotics Anonymous anymore. And I'm just like, man, how the fuck can you be like that? You know, here I go judging, right? Separating myself again, which is what they did before they fucking went out and decided they didn't want to do Narcotics Anonymous anymore. But it breaks my heart, man. It breaks my spirit, really. Like, because if my sponsor had decided to do that, I don't know where the fuck I'd be. You know, I joke around all the time, but like I'm serious, kind of, because like when I met my sponsor, she had like 17 years clean. And I remember seeing her at every fucking meeting I went to thinking, God, what a loser. What a fucking loser. She's got 17 years clean and she still has to come to these meetings? You know, like, that's not going to be me. You know what I mean? I'm going to get it and I'm not going to have to come back. You know what I mean? I didn't know. I didn't know yet, man. I was new. Leave me alone, right? But, man, I'm so grateful that she was such a loser and she kept coming back and she still keeps coming back, man, because she taught me to keep coming back. And to keep showing up, no matter what, no matter how I fucking feel, you know, there's been so many times in my recovery where I didn't want to fucking do this anymore, right? I didn't want to do NA. I was sick of the fucking people. I was, you know, sick of that meeting, sick of hearing that person share the same shit over and fucking over and over and over. Hey, but you know what? I forget that sometimes I'm that fucking person.
Yeah.
You know? I'm that person, too. There's been so many times where I've shared the same shit over and over. I still probably share the same shit over and over, you know? But man, I'm just grateful for the people that, like, that stay, you know? That keep coming back and stay. Because we need each other, you know? I got to think about, like, at the end of the day, like, that's what this is about. You know, I have a... I've had the opportunity to become very successful in my career through, believe it or not, practicing the principles I learned right here in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and I advanced very quickly, and I got this job, and it's, you know, dream job. Like, I thought, my dream job. And now I have the job, and it's a fucking nightmare. And I've been there for a little over 3 years now, and I can't fucking stand it anymore, right? Like, I want to quit so bad every single day that I'm there. And, you know, it wasn't that bad until this all kind of started around November. And, let me back up a little bit. One of the things about this job is it keeps me very, very busy. I'm the executive director of a government agency, and it's a lot of responsibility, man. It's a lot of responsibility, and you know, I have a staff. Well, I did have a staff, but you know, I've got to, you know, manage like three separate very large budgets, and it's a lot. Operations of the agency, plus I travel all the fucking time. Like, I'm gone in the spring and the fall. Like, I might be home a couple of weekends out of, you know, 2 or 3 months. So I have to go to Washington, D.C. There's parts of my job that I fucking love, man. I love advocating and doing this legislative, you know, stuff and talking to congressional, our congressional delegation and people like that. But there's parts of it that I don't love, you know. Like, I've got a commission that I have to answer to, and guess what? None of them have Narcotics Anonymous in their life. So, you know, I don't know. Y'all, I remember somebody telling me when I was new, like, oh, you got to go to a business meeting. Cassandra, wait till you go to a business meeting. Bring some popcorn. And you know what? Let me tell you something. The first business meeting I went to, and this is a while back, they were arguing about whether or not we should be allowed to vape in the fucking meeting. And I didn't vape. I was still smoking at that time, so I really didn't give a shit. But I was like, these people are stupid. You know, like, what? these people are dumb. This is the shit that they're arguing about, you know? Like, who cares? But, you know, as I've matured and I see, it's like, it's still, you know, even when we argue and we disagree, like, we can always kind of come to an agreement, and we don't hate each other afterwards, yeah, for the most part, right? Like, we still love each other and respect each other. You know, from time to time, there's the, you know, one or two rogue members that's, yeah, like, I mean, I just can't get with that motherfucker. You know what I mean? Whatever. But that's my problem, right? Yeah. Not theirs. Yeah. So that's not the case at work. You know what I mean? Like, these people don't have spiritual principles in their lives, and if they did, I don't know. I mean, they're snakes. They're disgusting, despicable people. I'm judging them right now. All right, but they, you know, they do things, and like, I am kind of bound, right? I have some things that I'm required to do if they do or do not do a certain thing, and so I had like a commissioner that missed their. All of these commissioners are appointed by the governor, right? So if they miss a certain number of meetings in a row, I have to report that to the governor. Because, and I just go back to thinking about what my sponsor drilled into my head. Don't make a fucking commitment unless you can keep it. Yeah. Right? Yeah. If you can't come to the fucking meeting, then don't be a commissioner.
Yeah.
Right? It seems so simple in my head. Right? But, you know, and I know, like, they're busy. These people don't get paid, right? They just, you know, they've got their business and whatever. But at the same time, like, you could have fucking called into the meeting, bro.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, so I had to do that. I had to do that with one of my commissioners. I had to report them to the governor, and they took it very personally. It wasn't personal. Yeah. It's my legal requirement. I have to do it or I'll lose my fucking job. And it got blown, like, just way out of proportion. And so that was in November. It is now April. And this motherfucker hasn't spoken to me in five months now? Since that happened. Shh. April is not in my contact. Anyway, sorry. So he hasn't spoke to me all this time. Well, he's got a couple of other commissioners to jump on the bandwagon, right? And so they're not going to talk to me either. And now they're, like, trying to find, you know, me doing something wrong so that I'll be the bad guy, but they're not playing that tape all the way through because, like, there's a hiring freeze where I live. And they're not going to be able to hire anybody else if they get rid of me. They're going to be fucked, right? But at this point, I'm like, I just want to quit, you know? It's really made my life miserable. And I've allowed that. I've allowed that. You know, it was funny, at a convention I was sharing at a couple of weeks ago, like, my topic was, it was something similar. It was about life on life's terms, and, you know, I can accept it or fucking be miserable, right? And I was like, oh, shit, I've just been being miserable, right? Damn it. So, and I have, man. I've just been obsessing about work. This asshole ran my staff off, right? And now hiring freeze. I can't hire anybody, and now it's not looking like they're going to let me, and it's just, it's really, it's been really stressful, you know? He's picking at me, you know, sending emails, like, fucking 37 times a day and copying every other commissioner and fucking everybody else in the state on it, and it's just, it's stupid and childish. And really annoying to me because I'm being micromanaged, which I don't do well with that. Some people are good being micromanaged. I'm not those people. But one of the things is that, you know, I was spending all this time just obsessing about it and just fucking miserable. I'm alone a lot at work and traveling, and you know, it's like, so I have all this time with me and my disease to be sitting there hanging out like, man, yeah, Cassandra, they got you fucked up, you know, like, why are you putting up with this shit, you know? So we're having this whole little conversation, and I'll get trapped up there, man. I will get trapped up there, and it will not even occur to me that I haven't fucking picked up the phone and talked to my sponsor in a week, you know. And when I'm on the road, like, the way my schedule is, there's a lot of times I can't make a meeting for a week, and that sucks, man. I hate that. So one of the things that I just started doing, man, I don't even know. Like, I just I thought I was like maxed out on sponsees, you know. I've got this many, and this is the only, you know, like, I'm not going to go above this number of sponsees because I can't give them the time. Well, I've got like fucking three of them that I haven't heard from in like, you know, a year. So, like, am I really their sponsor? Not right now. You know, they're sponsoring themselves. So I started raising my hand again at meetings, right? Like, what can I do? Like, I'm looking for ways to, like, be more positive and have a more positive outlook and not just want to fucking, you know, quit my job while I'm, you know, cussing everybody out on my way out the door, like destroying any chance of me having any future career, right? Because that's what the disease wants me to do. And so, you know, I've found myself in this place where I've just been like diving into service work in Narcotics Anonymous, right? Trying to get out of myself, man. I got to get out of my fucking head in this zone where I'm just, you know, just self-obsessed, and then I fall into that self-pity, right? Like, and I'm just, you know, it's like hopeless, I'm miserable, I can't get out of this place, and I'm fucking clean, you guys. You know, everything on the outside of my life looks amazing, right? I've got a great marriage and, you know, good relationship with my son and my family and, you know, my house and my animals and, you know, the good job. So everything on the outside looks good, but on the inside, I'm fucking dying, right? I'm just sitting here in misery, dying completely unnecessarily. And what I've started doing, like I said, so I'm thinking about this, like, the more eagerly we wade in and work, the richer our spiritual awakening will be. And something that has that I've discovered as I've been doing this, raising my hand, right? I picked up a couple of new sponsees, and guess what? They are fucking excited about Narcotics Anonymous. They're new, you know, and they're like, you know, this is awesome, and they're doing their assignments, and they call me regularly, and it's great, man. It feels so good to give back, and there's nothing that I love more than seeing that light fucking come on inside the eyes of an addict who had been dying.
Amen. Yeah.
And you know, the paradox is like, when I do that, the light comes on in my eyes when I've been dying.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where I've been. You know, it's like people have been calling, asking me to share, and normally, like, normally, with my busy schedule, I'm like, you know, no. Because I just want to be at home on the weekends, man. Yeah, I just got back from Washington, D.C., my second fucking trip this month, in March. Like, I was there all week last week. And then 2 weeks before that, I was there all week. And, you know, I shared at a convention right before I took that first trip to Washington, D.C. And then this one, I was like, you know what? I'm going to fucking do it. You know? I'm just going to do it. And I've just been accepting more commitments. And I'm the vice chair of our area and getting ready to be the chair. And, you know, oh, I can't wait to have that. No, I'm just kidding. Whip them all into shape. No. It's, but, you know, I mean, it feels good to be able to give back, man. And it's funny because, like, as I do these things, right, I become less self-centered and more God-centered. So I was thinking about that, and just, you know, in terms of like this topic, thinking about, you know, the richer our spiritual awakening will be, and just watching, just thinking about the shift in my fucking attitude, man. It's a beautiful thing, like the shift in my attitude. I've changed from being like so negative every single day, where like, but here's the thing, man. You know, it talks about in our literature, like we're often doing better than we're feeling, right? And I've been feeling miserable, and like I want to quit my job every single day, but guess what I'm doing? I get up and I fucking go to work every day, you know? And I'm going to Washington, D.C. and advocating for these assholes that I don't even like, right? And I'm doing a good job, man, because that's what I do. Right? I show up, I put my big girl panties on, and I do my best. Yeah. That's what Narcotics Anonymous has taught me to do. No matter what. Mm-hmm. No matter what the fuck they're doing, you know, no matter how I'm feeling, I show up and do my job to the best of my ability. Right? And, you know, of course, I've started taking some action in other areas, like applying for other jobs, you know, because like, that's not going to change if I don't apply for other jobs, you know, like nobody's just going to knock on the door and be like, here you go, Cassandra, here's a check for, you know, $20 million. You can just retire.
Yeah.
That's what I would like to happen. But it's just not, you know, and nobody's going to give me a job. I've got to put in the work. You know, I've got to put in the work. I've got to take action if I want some results.
That's right.
You know, but the deal is the results are not up to me.
That's right.
Right? They're up to my higher power. Yeah. And the thing is that one thing I have learned without a shadow of a doubt through my years in Narcotics Anonymous is that when I put in the effort and give it my best effort, the results always turn out better than I could have ever expected them to be. Right? You know, I had this whole picture of what recovery was supposed to look like when I got here. You know, at 30 days clean, I was supposed to have my kids back and a career and a car and a house. And I had none of that shit at 30 days clean. And I remember looking around and seeing some of these other girls get their kids back. And I was just pissed, man. Like, why them? And my sponsor said, Cassandra, you've always been able to get the stuff, but you've never been able to keep the stuff. And so that's what we're trying to do, man. We're trying to get to that point where we can keep the stuff. And I found that, you know, it's been slow going me getting the stuff, right? But I'm able to keep the stuff today, right? Like, I can keep the job. In the past, like, this kind of a deal would have, I had either quit or I would have gotten fired because I just would have fucking laid in bed and not gotten up because I was so depressed and miserable that, you know, they would have been like, well, I guess she's not coming back. And man, I just don't have to do that shit anymore. I don't have to sabotage my life or anybody else's because of how I feel. And so I'm going to just kind of, I wanted to share. I had read something in the Living Clean I want to share, and then I'm done. Because this is just, it's just so in alignment with what, like, my experience has been so far. Like, as I'm doing these things, as I'm picking up these sponsees, as I'm, like, taking on more service commitments and just being like, yeah, I'll come share. When I really just want to stay home and fucking sleep, you know. But what I'm finding is that my attitude is shifting, and I'm, you know, shifting more into that attitude of gratitude, right? I'm not as miserable at work, man. I'm just not. Like, I don't hate it. Like, I don't have those, like, strong negative feelings. Like, those are kind of, it's getting lighter.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I'm just going in, and I know. With all of my heart, that shit's gonna change.
Yeah.
You know, it's not gonna stay this way forever.
Yeah.
It's gonna get better because I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So I know it's gonna get better. I don't know what it's gonna look like, but I know that it's gonna get better.
Yeah.
So it says in the Living Clean, it talks about being of service. It says, service is not a position in a committee. It is a posture in the heart. It's a way of life we can practice in all our affairs. It can be as simple as holding a door open or as complicated as helping a loved one in the last stages of life. Our relationship to service and the way we express it changes our Our relationship to service and the way we express it changes as our humility deepens. The desire to serve is a manifestation of freedom from self. I was like, damn. That's what's happening to me. I'm getting that freedom from self, man. I've been so self-obsessed and so caught up in this, you know, self-imposed prison in my head about my job and everything else that's going on. And it sucks there, man. Like, that's no different than the self-imposed prison I was in when I was out there. No different. Same fucking feelings. I'm trapped. This sucks. It's hopeless. I just want to die. I don't really want to die, but I don't want to live like this anymore, and I don't know how to get out of it.
Yeah.
But I do. And then it says, anonymity is a key principle in selfless service. When we learn to give selflessly in service to those who suffer and to a power greater than ourselves, we find happiness, purpose, and dignity. That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Let's give Cassandra another round of applause.